It's nice to come into the house of the Lord on such a beautiful day where you make yourself appointed unto God to enter into his house of worship. And so, as Holly said, I'm Len Bruce. I've been around for a few years, and Denise and I, we've thoroughly enjoyed this church, and we are well at home. This message this morning, Pastor Lloyd, he asked me to speak in this text in Matthew 5:5, and it's, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And as I studied this text, and Carol mentioned something about the Greek, how we're Greek thinkers. Well, I'm not. I have a hard time with the Greek, and so this wasn't my choice, for it is a difficult text, but it's very rewarding now that I've studied it and prepared for this message. And so, this one word, meek, has shown me that I have not completed the race yet. And so I thought I was doing okay in my spiritual life, but I must admit that this one word, I need more than ever the Holy Spirit to indwell in my heart and to actually have control of my life. So Jesus spoke. He spoke, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And so let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, your faithfulness renews every morning, and your mercy extends to all who call upon your name. Fill us with your Spirit, renew our minds, our thoughts, our actions, to step closer to you and to know you more. Allow us to accept the change in our spiritual lives, that it will overflow outwardly and show that we are filled inwardly and that we can be Christ-like, becoming more as you desire, in your holy name. Amen. This morning on your sermon notes, I have 3 points. Does that seem a little unusual? Pastor Lloyd, he is geared for a 3-point sermon, and so I am geared for a 3-point sermon today. So the world's meaning of meek. The question I put before you today is, what does it mean to be a meek person in the 21st century? The Sermon on the Mount, it begins with Beatitudes verses 3 to 10, each one starting with the word blessed, meaning happy are you. This message was not given away as a way of salvation for the lost, but it was given to those who responded to the teachings of Jesus as a way of life. And also today for those who confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus' teaching, he teaches us the way of righteous living. It was instruction for those who responded to Jesus' invitation to repent. The Beatitudes describes the inner condition of a follower of Jesus Christ, which leads to the outward actions that each and every one of us do. We will look at this third blessed that Jesus speaks of in verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We have no much more or less traveled all of the earth, but Christ says that we will inherit the whole earth. In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, meek is having or showing a quiet or gentle nature of meaning, enduring injury in patience and without resentment, submissive in spirit and courage, not violent or strong. So in thinking in this line, meek carries somewhat of a person who would be submissive, a person who would be weak, no backbone, bit of a coward, fearful of all and dominated by many. That is defined in the meek of our today's dictionary. So in thinking of this line, how a person could be so meek, how can we be as Christians be meek? How do we as Christians take these words? Blessed are the meek. Blessed, happy are the meek. This world has no place for the meek. The world will destroy a person who is seen as meek. The world's view to survive, and we are in educated, we are brought into these points of how we have to adapt, is you have to be aggressive, you have to be confident, dominating, you have to be bold, you have to be brassy, you have to be overbearing, and you have to be proud some days. You have to be outgoing, self-assertive, condescending, and overbearing. This is the world's thought line. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Why would we as Christians want to inherit this earth if we will be trampled by the world if we are meek? In William Barclay's commentary, it opens up a new meaning to the word meek. And so, as I have learned, I hope you shall learn through the Spirit. He says that the meek is not one of the honorable words that our society would use. But to be a follower of Jesus, you will need that quality to enter into the kingdom of God. He states that today the world meek carries with it the idea of spinelessness and subservience. How do we balance the Christian way from the world way? There are two extremes, both completely opposite to each other. How the world relates to meekness and how Jesus relates to meekness, they are far, far apart. We have a thought somewhat in our direction in Galatians 5, 16 to 26 of the opposite ends of how we would understand meek. In our spiritual life and our fleshly life, the Lord speaks and he says that, "For it is written, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to one another." So in a sense, it is our actions that set us apart. In the relationship between fleshly and spiritual, it is written of all the different fleshly thought lines of impurity, of adultery, of hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, and it continues on. And spiritual life, it comes back to us. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. two extremes, from the worldview to Christ-like view. Now the works of the flesh, they're plain as we are warned. And as he has warned us before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says that the fruit of the Spirit is plain. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking one another, no envy of one another. So it is our actions that will set us apart with the renewing of the fruits of the Spirit. Meekness as defined by the world. Two opposing and far, far apart. In point two, meekness as defined by the original Greek. And it is basically the closest that we can come to the meaning of meek in the English word would be humble. For there is no English word that translates it to the fullest meaning. In the Greek, meek is one of the great Greek ethical words. Berkeley points out that Aristotle, one of the great Greek philosophers, spoke of the quality of meekness in the Greek, which he put as means of two extremes. He brings it to the extremes of success, to the extremes of defect. But in between was a happy medium, the virtue. The example that he shares is how we can relate very easily. On the one hand, we would have a spendthrift. Money in the pocket, money going out. Always racing, running, spending, buying. And we could think how quickly the spendthrift would be always continuously going. The other extreme would be the miser. First paycheck, he kept. He never spent it. And in between, we have the generous man. One who is generous to family, loved ones, and even to himself. But Barclay mentions the meaning of meek, and he has three words that he brings out that means meek in the Greek wording. The first one he mentions is anger. And the second one he mentions self-control. And the third one he mentions humility. So I'll speak on those three points in the meaning of the Greek. First one is anger. Anger is the emotion of instant displeasure of accounting on account of something. Anger is an intense emotional response. Anger can be hasty. It can be a sudden anger. It can be settled and deliberate in unfair treatment or harm to others. Anger is the emotion of instant displeasure. There is also passive anger. Someone giving a cold shoulder, looking unconcerned, or sitting on the fence. Manipulation, provoking people on aggression, and then stepping back and patronizing them. There is aggressive anger. One with threats, bullying, unjust blame, hurtfulness, selfishness, being destructive, explosive rages, unpredictable, and vengeance. This seems like the world has entered in. Have we all not been found of anger of some type of what I have mentioned above? What is the right anger that we can have to be called meek? We all have been angry in some ways, to others and even ourselves. A driver who's cut you off. Instant anger. Argumental anger. Raising your voice to be sure that you're made right. We all have been there. But this is not the anger that Jesus is talking about or telling us. Jesus, he speaks in Matthew 5:22. He goes, I tell you this, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. In Ephesians 4:26, we read, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, because it will give the devil a foothold in your life. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the laps of fools, in Ecclesiastes 7:9. I don't have background in the Greek words, but Aristotle, he defines meekness as a happy medium between too much and too little anger. So the first translation of meekness would be, blessed is the man who is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. How can this be? That anger is part of meekness. Jesus became angry when he cleansed the temples. It's recorded in all four Gospels. He made a whip from a cord, and he turned tables, and he chased the merchants out. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus was angry. In Exodus 32, Moses, he was up on Mount Sinai, speaking to the Lord and writing the Ten Commandments. The Lord said, turn back and go down and get to your people, for they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them to go. So Moses, he turned down, he went down to the bottom of the mountain, and seeing what the people had did, Moses' anger became hot. And he cast the tablets down at the edge of the mountain and broke them. Righteous anger is what we see here. We are allowed to be angry when it deals with God's plans for our lives, our family, our loved ones, our friends, and this world which we will inherit. We are allowed righteous anger. We have a right to have righteous anger when we see what sin has done in this world. And Barclay states, what then is the right time and the wrong time? For in life is never right to be angry for any insult or injury done to ourselves. For in life, it is never right to be angry for any insult done to ourselves. I failed. That is something that no Christian must ever do. But it is often right to be angry at injuries done to other people. Christian way. Selfish anger is always a sin. You will give Satan a foothold in your life. Selfless anger can be one of great moral dynamics of this world. And to change it. Second point in self-control of the meaning of the word meek. The Greek word pros, meekness, it has a second usage. And Barclay says that it is the regular word for an animal which has been domesticated, which has been trained to obey the word of command, which has learned to answer the reins. It is the meaning of which an animal has learned to accept control. Are we trained to obey the word of command? Do we accept control? To give us a thought on that, we can see in James 3, verses down through 1 to 12. And it talks about the bridling and the boasting. And it talks that when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. If you turn the ships with the rudder, we can steer it and drive it into the strong winds, and they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. And then it goes on to speak about the tongue. And the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great force to set on fire by a small spark. And so it also says that the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set by fire, by hell. And so all kinds of animal, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue, for it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And it states that with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Do we accept control? The second possible translation would be, blessed is the man who has every instinct, every impulse, every passion under control. Blessed is a man who is entirely self-controlled. Self-controlled. What's the meaning of self-controlled? Restraint of oneself or one's actions, of feelings, emotions, habits, desires, and our thoughts. We all have self-control in some areas of our lives, whether in eating and exercise, in our speech, in our thoughts, in our actions. The moment we see the word entirely self-controlled, we see that we come short because we need the Holy Spirit's help in changing our ways. Barclay states that it is not so much the blessing of the man who is self-controlled, for such complete self-control is beyond our human capacity. Each and every one of us cannot do it. I can't do it, and you can't do it. Rather, he said that it is the blessing of the man who is completely God-controlled. For only in his service do we find perfect freedom, and in doing his will, our peace. Is not this one of the fruits of the spirits in Galatians, where we speak of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? It is a fruit of the Spirit that will enable us humanly to be self-controlled and God-controlled. Self-control then is managing our moods, our words, our reactions, our schedules, our health, every and inner application of our whole life. No wonder he states that it's beyond our human capacity. Because self-control is a battle between a divided self. It implies that our self produces desires that we should not only, but instead control. It is not a worldly self-control, but a godly self-control. So if we exercise in godly faith, it is a gift from the Spirit. It's not of ourselves, but is from Christ's work within us. So the third translation, we can approach, we can say the attitude is humility, which banishes all pride. Barclay states, without humility, a man cannot learn. For the first step in learning is to realize our own ignorance. No man can teach one who knows it all. Humility is the acceptance to learn and necessity to be forgiven. Humility is to be humble in all aspects of our lives, toward others and toward yourself. This brings us to a proper relationship and attitude toward God and our fellow man. So this third possible translation, we could see that blessed is a man who has the humility to know his own ignorance, his own weakness, and his own need. Point three, meekness defined as in the third Beatitudes. We need Christ. We need the Spirit of the living God to help us to be meek in this world. And Barclay, he states that no man lead others until he has mastered himself. He points out that no man can serve others until he has subjected himself. No man can control others until he has learned to control himself. The man who gives himself into complete control of God will gain the meekness which will indeed allow him to inherit the earth. It is in the Greek that this word means so much more than in the English language. It is only by the Spirit of God that we can accomplish through this the infilling and the works of the Spirit. We need the Spirit to infill us with the fruits of the Spirit to allow us to be meek. We must realize our own weakness and our need for God. When we are conscious that we are the created and that God is the creator, and without God we can do nothing, we are one step closer to Christ's meaning of blessed are the meek. It is this meekness that you will need to inherit the earth. In the Old Testament, we can look at no other person than Moses. In Numbers 12, verse 3, speaks that the man Moses was very meek. He was very humble, more than all the men that were on the face of the earth. Moses, he was not spineless. Moses was not a coward. He was infilled with the knowledge of God. He spoke face to face. He made his life God controlled. That's the difference. And he walked and he served the Lord. And he looked after God's people. And he did it because he was God controlled. That is a big objective in our lives, to be God-controlled, self-controlled, to have the righteous anger, to have the humility. I have failed on all three points. That's why I said I've not done the race yet. But by God's grace, by His Spirit, by the infilling and helping me to walk worthy and according to His words and His commandment, someday, He will allow me to inherit the earth. He that rules his spirit is better than he who can take over a city. So in closing, I would like to complete the meaning of meekness for us in the 21st century. The anger, the self-control, and humility, they have directions where we can live by and steps to follow. What we can thrive to understand and to do is this. If we have the wrong use of anger, we will never have self-control. If we have no self-control, we will never have humility to be Christ-like. So what does it mean for us? Here's the application. The man who is always angry at the right time, selfless anger, and never angry at the wrong time, selfish anger, who has every instinct and impulse and passion under control, because he himself is God-controlled, who has the humility to realize his own ignorance and his own weakness. That is why Christ says that if we are God-controlled, we will inherit the earth. For we are sons and daughters of the living Christ. We are heirs according to his promise. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We are God-controlled, inward and outward. And if anyone is under God's control, he is never out of control. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you this day for your word that has been brought forward. We just ask you, Lord, that we would think upon this one word, meek, through this week, through the challenges and through the meaning of the anger, of the self-control, and of the humility. Because all three need to be bound together. All three need to be acted out within our hearts by your Spirit and shown outwardly to this world. And that will give us the strength and the courage to say that we are truly following the steps that you would desire us to do. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for what you will accomplish this week. We call upon for your grace and your mercy in our lives as we step out, as we think, as we renew our hearts to you, and as we become more like you. Help us, Lord, in our weakness, in our stumblings. Help us, Lord, lift us up. Encourage us. Allow us, Lord, to have a smile on our face and say, blessed are the meek. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.